السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Is that loud enough? طيب طيب continuing from yesterday, we stopped off on the third point, I believe, connected to maybe the sixth chapter in the فوائد مستنبطة من قصة يوسف, the benefits which are derived in the story of Yusuf عليه الصلاة والسلام. So today, continue on in this book from Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, who died in the year 1376. We start where he says, وَمِنْ فَوَائِدْ, and from the benefits, الْحَثُّ عَلَى التَّحَرُّزِ مِمَّا يَخْشَى دَرُّهُ. So, yani being vigilant and taking the different means, encouragement to be careful when you may fear some type of harm. When you may fear some type of harm. So before we get started in the explanation of Sheikh Abdul Razak as well along with this, can we possibly guess where that might come in? Where that might come in? Where does he get this benefit from? Where does he derive this benefit from? Where does he get the benefit where he says it is a encouragement to take the means to protect yourself from anything that you may feel some type of harm? Okay, so we have the encouragement to be careful, right, if someone fears some type of harm. Exactly. Jazakallah khair. Exactly. In the ayat, Ya Bunayya, O son, لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك فيكيدون لك كيدا فيكيدون فيكيدوا لك كيدا. O my son, do not tell your brothers, do not relay your vision to your brothers in the case that they may arrange and start to plot against you. They may start to plot against you. So here we see that it's legislated to take the means, to take the means when you may feel that there may be some type of harm. So Imam al-Sa'di, he says, وَمَا فِيهَا مِنَ التَّأْكِيدْ عَلَيْهِمْ فِي حِفْظِهِ حِينَ أَرْسَلَ مَعَهُمْ ثُمَّ إِنْدَ إِرْسَالْ أَخِيهِ Binyamin. So he took it the means actually twice in this situation. We have a delil. The first one is that one where he told his son not to relay the vision to his brothers. And likewise, when he sent Binyamin with the brothers again. And what did he say to them? La tadkhulu min babin wahida, right? Don't enter into one single door, but rather enter into a few different doors. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam told Yaqub, his father, the story about the stars and the moon, and he seeing them prostrating to him, then in that response from his father, he told him not to tell this story to your brothers, out of fear that something may take place, out of fear that there might come some harm if you let someone know about it. Now this doesn't contradict the qadr of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. There's no contradiction. Somebody might say, طيب, but that which is written, it's going to take place. La, it's legislated for us to make sure that we take the asbab. Make sure we take the different means, but not to rely on the sabab itself. Not rely on the means itself, but rely on the musabbib, the one, Allah Ta'ala, who has caused all these things to take place. But it's legislated for us to take the means. Likewise, from this same benefit we can derive that if something does happen in contradiction to what we plan to try to stay away from, we should not become upset with the qadr. We should not become upset if it didn't work out as planned. Because in this story, we can clearly see that Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not tell the story to his brothers. Yet some harm still reached him. Yet some harm still reached him. Difficulty on top of difficulty. In this situation, we say qadr Allah wa ma sha fa'al, and we have patience. And we do not become upset. Nor do we go and we start saying, وَلَوْ فَعَلْتُ كَذَا وَكَذَا, had I only did this and that, right? As we know that lo is from the things and opens the door to the shaytan, saying, if I had only did this, if I had only do that. لا. Rather you say, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. Next part, we're going on to the next benefit, where Imam Sa'di, he says, وَمِنْهَا, and from the benefits likewise, أَنَّ مِنَ الْهَزْمِ إِذَا أَرَادَ الْعَبْدُ فِعْلًا مِنَ الْأَفْعَالِ أَنْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ جَمِيعِ النَّوَاهِي وَيُقَدِّرْ كُلَّ إِحْتِمَالٍ مُمْكِنٍ. Likewise, it's upon a person when he wants to make a decision, he wants to plan something, that he, the slave, he intends to look at the action from all of its different angles. He doesn't look at it, narrow-visioned, right? He looks at it from all of its angles, all the different possibilities that can happen. He examines them. He examines them. He thinks them and considers them. Now, as Imam Sa'di says here, وَأَنَّ الْإِحْتِرَازِ بِسُوءُ الظَّنِ لَا يَضُرُّ. Likewise, in these type of situations, when you're looking at the different possibilities, it might be possibilities that might cause a person to think, okay, but that's su'u dhan, that's bad thoughts, for example, about my brother, or that's bad thoughts about fulan, so-and-so, or bad thoughts here and there. La. In this situation, when you're looking at all the possibilities, and there might be some harm that can reach you, you are legislated to look into these different things. But it's important to make a difference. As Imam Sa'di says here, وَأَنَّ الْإِحْتِرَازِ بِسُوءِ الظَّنِ لَا يَدُرُّ إِذَا لَمْ يُحَقِّقْ يعني لَمْ يَجْزِمْ. The person, it's not harming the person when he looks at these different angles, long as he doesn't say so-and-so is going to do this. He doesn't say for sure that it's going to happen, or it's going to take place. But he says there's a possibility. There's a possibility, just as we've seen in the last benefit, where Yaqub said to his son not to do this, because it's possible that they may start plotting. Did he say they're going to plot? No. He said it's possible. It's possible this will happen, right? This may happen, right? And then we have here from Imam Sa'di, بَلْ يَحْتَرِزْ مِنْ كُلِّ إِحْتِمَالٍ يَخْشَى دَرَرٍ. It is legislated upon the servant to make sure that he protects and looks at all the angles that have any type of harm whatsoever. Any type of harm whatsoever. So if there's a situation that may have any type of dar, any type of harm upon the servant, then it is legislated. Likewise, we have in this as well, Imam Sa'di says, وَلَوْ تَضَمَّنَ الظَّنْ بِالسُّوءِ بِغَيْرِ إِذَا كَانَتْ الْقُرَاءٍ تَدُلُّ عَلَيْهِ وَتَقْتَضِيهِ. Even more so, it's the possibility that if it's a situation that is more likely that it can take place, and it's more just something that's pointing to it, you have a reason kind of to think about of it happening and a harm of happening, then it's upon you to likewise look into this. And in this situation, Yaqub alayhi salam, he says later in the ayah, later in the surah, he says, هَلْ آمَنَكُمْ عَلَيْهِ إِلَّا كَمَا أَمَنْتُكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَخِيهِ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Right? So before he sends Binyamin, he's seen that there was already an issue, right, with Yusuf alayhi salam. So there's something that leads him to possibly think, have this type of thought, okay, that there may become some harm. For that reason, he makes that statement, alayhi salam. So just summing that point up, protection is sought and from all of his possibilities. No matter where harm may be feared, even if it includes evil suspicion. Even if it includes evil suspicion about others, supporting proofs, and we have the supporting proofs which indicate that, right? Supporting proofs that indicate that. The next one from the benefits. وَمِنْهَا الْحَذَرْ مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. Okay, from the next benefits is caution from sins. Caution from sins, which is a very important point here that the Sheikhs want to talk about, because we have here some people think that, let me do this one sin, and after this one sin, I'll make tawbah. Imam Sa'di, he says here, خَصُوصٌ الذُّنُوبِ الَّتِي يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهَا ذُنُوبُ أُخْرَى. Some sins, specific sins, they have the sins that build upon them. Okay, they have sins that lead to other sins. وَيَتَسَلْسَلْ شَرُّهَا. The different evil connected to it, it advances and it spreads, right? Just like here in the story of Qissat Yusuf, in the story of Yusuf, alayhi salam, with the brothers, right? what took place here? We had not only did was there lying about, well, first, before that, it started with the thought, right, to go and take upon themselves to get rid of Yusuf. Okay? Then they went and tried to establish it, and they did establish it. Then it came after that, the lying. Then it came after that, the deceit with their father, okay, with the shirt. So Imam al-Sa'di, he says here, فَإِنَّهُ نَفْسَ فِعْلُهُمْ فِيهِ عِدَّةِ الْجَرَائِمِ. It has a lot of different numerous actions which were crimes in themselves. You have fi حَقِّ اللَّهِ, in the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, the sinful actions, diving into sin. وَفِي حَقِّ وَالِدَيْهِ وَالْقَرَابَتِهِ, likewise diving into the rights of his father and their relatives. وَفِي حَقِّ يُوسف, and then in the rights of Yusuf alayhi salam. So all of this after one sin that they tried to commit. One sin, which was to get rid of Yusuf. And look at how it's تسلسل, it's connected to sin after sin after sin after sin. The Sheikh here, he alludes to the magnificent point where sometimes people may think about the sin alone, but it leads to something else. So here, sin, we see that it lays the soil for more sins. It lays the soil for more sins. And it plants the seed for sin after sin after sin. So it's important for us to stop it from the very beginning. Stop it from the very beginning. Imam Sheikh Abdul Razak, Hafidhullah, he mentions about this. Another example of being, or we see from this example rather, of being from the worst of sins, to have tasalsal, to have this connection to sin after sin after sin and sin, is what? Killing, generally. Killing, generally, from the worst of the sins. Because we see, as we've seen in the story, that first and foremost, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala connects it to being one of the worst sins after shirk. But likewise, how many connections to sinful actions follows after that. So, Naam, it's important for us to cut off sin from the very beginning and not allow it to resonate with us, because it leads to sasasal, which is leading to more and more sin. And the brothers of Yusuf, alayhi salam, they knew this. They knew this, that this, what they had did later, was built upon haram on top of haram, sin on top of sin. And that's why they came to Yaqub, their father, right? And he said, قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا استغفر لنا ذنوبنا إنا كنا خاطئين. Oh, our father, seek forgiveness for us from our sins, plural, our sins. إنا كنا خاطئين. Indeed, we were from those who fell into major error. That which they did, it was what? Amur adida. It was something which was numerous. It was built on top of sin, on top of sin, on top of transgression, on top of transgression. Naam. So, moving on, the next fa'ida, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ بَعْدَ الشَّرْ. All of this is coming from what we took yesterday, by the way, which was going into the equality upon the children. So the Sheikh, as I alluded to and we spoke about yesterday, which is the Sheikh goes into different points under one chapter. He goes after point after point after point. So when he says وَمِنْهَا, and from it, he's talking about from the top chapter point, but also from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So he says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ بَعْدَ الشَّرْ أَحْوَنْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. That some evil is lesser than other evils. Some evil is lesser than other evils. How do we derive this point? That some evil is lesser. They're not all on the same level. They're not all on the same playing field, as you can say, right? There's some that are less. Where do we get this from in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam? Where can we think about this? It's okay, we can guess. Could be wrong, no problem. Okay, that's talking about the Nisa. But where's the other evil connected to it, though? So we're talking about one evil is being lesser than another evil. You get what I'm saying? So we need something to compare to say that this one was built upon this one, or it could have been lesser than this one or greater than this one. Aywa, Jameel, Jazakallah Khair. So we have what? When they were discussing the getting rid of Yusuf, alayhi salatu wasalam. The first one was what? The first idea was let's kill him. That's the worst one. Okay? Then after that, someone said, let's just take him to a place that's far away. That's the next one. Then it got to the point where, what did the last one say? وَقَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ لَا تَقْتُلُوا يُوسَفْ وَأَلْقُوهُ فِي غَيَابَةِ الْجُبْ. Let's not kill him, but rather let's put him down in the well. Put him down in the well so that what some caravan can come away and take him. So from this is derived that أَنَّ بَعْدَ الشَّرِّ أَحْوَن مِّن بَعْدَ, that some evil is lesser than other evil. And this is not a hadith, but it's a principle that some of the mufassirin, they have mentioned about this surah particularly, and it's something which is, you can say, what is the mashhur al alsina, right? Or mutadawin al alsina, something which is well known and well spoken about amongst different people and the different people of knowledge, but it's became a qaid, it's become a principle that there is some evil that is lesser than other evil, and it's derived from this hadith or this surah itself. Naam. Then Imam Sa'di, he goes on and he explains in this same point, in the same benefit, a point here, there's some differing in that Sheikh Abdul Razak himself, he differed with it, and it was about the brothers themselves. In the ayah it says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمْنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانَ فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. So they sold him, right? They sold him for a reduced price, a few dirhams, and they had, and it was in a small amount of number. Imam Sa'di, he says here that actually the brothers, they stood around after they put him in the well. They put him down there, and they were around. They were close. وَكَانَ إِخْوَتُهُ حَوْلَهُ, right? Sheikh Abdul Razak, he actually said something different, and he said that, no, this isn't the case, and that's not what we can see from the ayah itself. And some people have said this, but it doesn't really seem clear, because Aslan, had they had a purpose for selling him as a slave, then there would be no need to put him in a well in the first place. There would have been no need. Okay, so when the ayah here is talking about somebody else finding him, and he was being sold, right? But not the brothers themselves selling him, Yusuf alayhi salam. So it's apparent that he was placed down in a well, and they left. They left him there, okay? And they didn't stay around and try to sell him to someone else, because it doesn't seem like there's a connection there. Wallahu alam, it needs to be looked into a bit further. Likewise, وَمِنْ لُطْفِ اللَّهِ أَنَّ الَّذِي أَخَذَهُ بَاعَهُ فِي مِصْرِ عَلَى عَزِيزِهَا فَهِينَ رَآهُ رَغَبَ فِيهِ جِدٍ. From the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the honor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or the gentleness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Yusuf, is that he was sold to go to Misr, to go with the Aziz that was there, the king of Misr, right? And when they seen him, he became something which was beloved to him, became beloved to him. That is where it's clear from the ayah, أَكْرِمِ مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعْنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Yani, be honorable with him. Make his stay comfort. Make his stay comfortable. Maybe he will profit us, or we shall adopt him as a son. So Yusuf alayhi salam, after being put in the well, and after being taken out and sold, he was honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the lutf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he was sold to a place where he was honored, and he was able to be alone. He was mutafarriq. He was able to study there, because they didn't put him in any type of workplace. He was there able to study and worship and learn the tahwil al-ahlam, as the dream interpretations. So Imam Sa'di says here, فَبَقِيَ مُقَرَّمًا عِنْدَهُمْ مُعْفَى عَنَ الْأَشْغَالِ الشَّاقَةِ وَغَيْرِهَا الْمُتَجَرِّدًا لِلْخَيْرِ. He was there honored, not busy with any type of heavy work, but rather he was honored and he was able to be free to do all types of good, all types of acts of good. وَهَذَا مِنْ لُطْفِ بِيُوسِفِ. And this is from the generosity and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Yusuf. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسَفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلِنُعَلِّمُهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَدِيثِ. And this is from the, thus we did establish Yusuf in the land, and We made him able to, was able to teach him the interpretation of the dreams or the events. فَكَانَ تَفَرُّقُهُ عِنْدَ الْعَزِيزِ مِنْ أَسْبَابِ تَعَلُّمِهِ لِلْعُلُومِ النَّافِعَةِ. So his freedom with regards to being with the king was the, and something which enabled him to be able to learn this dream interpretation. لِيَكُونَ أَسَاسًا لِمَا بَعْدَهُ مِنَ الرِّفْعَةِ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرِ. And that was the basis in which allowed it to be something to raise them in levels, right, in this life and in the hereafter. كَمَا أَنَّ رُؤْيَاهُ مُقَدِّمَةُ اللُّطْفِ وَكَمَا أَنَّ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَوْحَى إِلَيْهِ هِينَ أَلْقَاهُ إِخْوَتَهُ فِي الْجُبِّ. Likewise, there was the, this right here was from the lutf of having him to be able to be free, and it was from كَمَا أَنَّ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى أَوْحَى إِلَيْهِ هِينَ أَلْقَاهُ. Likewise, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he showed grace to him when he told him, لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. He told them that he's actually going to inform his brothers of their crimes eventually, and they will not be able to even see him. So Allah informed Yusuf prior to this day that he was going to have a good ending. He was going to be able to let them know what took place and be able to be taken care of. So, and this is actually what took place. They came to Yusuf alayhi salam, right? Later in the story, they had no idea it was Yusuf. No idea whatsoever. And Yusuf alayhi salam, in that part of the story, was risen to a level of honor. And in that situation, he was able to establish, Allah Ta'ala gave him the grace and the virtue to establish exactly what he told him earlier in the story, which was going to take place, which was what? That you're going to be able to tell them what they did. And you're going to be able to, yani, confront them on this. And they won't even have no type of, they won't be, have no idea. And that's exactly what happened. They had no idea that it was Yusuf, alayhi salam. And when did he confront him? When did he say? He said, هل علمتم ما فعلتم بيوسف وأخيه إذ أنتم جاهلون. Do you know what you did to Yusuf? Do you know what you did to Yusuf and his brother when you were of the ignorant? When you were of the ignorant. Next one, moving on to the next benefit. ومنها أن العبرة في حال العبد بكمال النهاية لا بنقص البداية. The situation with regards to the servant concerning the condition of the slave, it is about his perfect ending and not about the deficient beginning. Again, the servant, his situation is his concern of his condition with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's about his final ending and not about his deficient beginning. So the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they had made mistakes, as we've seen, right? Mistake after mistake after mistake. But what happens at the end? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives them. He forgives them. He pardons them. And not only before that, the father seeks forgiveness for him. Likewise, Yusuf alayhi salam seeks forgiveness for him and says, there's no worry on you today, right? And what better than to have two prophets seeking forgiveness for you? So this is the benefit that's derived from this one, is that what? The situation and the importance is given to the ending and not the beginning. We all make slip-ups in the beginning. We all may fall short in the beginning. We all may fall short sometime in this dunya. Nobody's perfect. But it's upon us to rectify, right? And that's what you see the brothers, they did. You see what the brothers did. They went and they said they were sorry. And they sought forgiveness from the father and sought forgiveness from the brother and sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardoned them and forgave them. Naam. And also to take in account that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us and told us that he forgives all sins. So we should never be from those who think that if we do something, khalas, this is it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not going to forgive us. But rather, all sins are forgiven with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you make a sincere tawbah. A sincere tawbah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'an. He forgives all sins in totality. Likewise, we benefit from this point if you do some wrong, and it's concerning the rights of others, it's not sufficient to simply go and make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive you alone. If it's concerning others, and you've taken some of their rights, then it's important that you return the rights back to them. It's important that you're courageous and you stand up straight and you correct that which you have broken, right? You go back to them and you give them something if you have taken something from them. If you have slandered them in an open place or slandered them, you know, in some type of place, then you make sure you correct that in that same place. For example, someone comes, they stand in front of the street and they say, the brother Khalid is kitha wa kitha wa kitha wa kitha wa kitha. Okay? Arguing, yelling. It's important him to come back. Everyone, the brothers who've seen this, it's important him, before he makes tawbah to Allah and just leave it and say, class is over and I left it there. It's upon him not only to do that, but to come back and let them brothers know I was wrong. And let Khalid know he's wrong. And then seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, he sought forgiveness from Yusuf, sought pardoning from the father. Then they sought pardoning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how many times do we see this? We see people who, yani, they might have been from people who had bad beginnings, right? But they end up being from the best of people after tawbah and working hard and straightening their affairs. So precedence is given to the good ending and not the slanted beginnings. Imam al-Sa'di says here, قِيلَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى جَعَلَهُمْ أَنْبِيَاءَ كَمَا قَالَهُ غَيْرَ وَاحِدٍ مِنَ الْمُفَسِّرِينَ فِي تَفْسِيرِ الْأَسْبَاطِ إِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَةَ يُوسُفِ إِثْنَ عَشَرَ. Some people have said that even Allah Ta'ala has given them, honored them with being from amongst the prophets. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمْ. Likewise, وَقِيلَ بَلْ كَانُوا قَوْمًا صَالِحِينَ. Likewise, it was said that, no, they were just from amongst the righteous. And this is what seems to be apparent. كَمَا قَالَهُ الْآخِرُونَ وَهُوَ الظَّاهِرُ. And that's what's apparent from what we get from the story. Like we took yesterday, the brothers were what? When it came to the Shams and the Qamar and the Kawakib, what were the brothers? They were the stars. And we said that this was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored them with, making them from the stars. How do we derive that point? Because the stars shine, do they not? Exactly. So this is where they were honored. They were honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only honored, but also forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلِهَذَا فِي رُؤْيَا يُوسِفْ رَآهُمْ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الْقَوَاكِبِ فِي إِشْرَاقِهَا وَعُلُوِّهَا وَهَذِهِ صِفَةِ الْأَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ وَالْإِمَانِ وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ. Likewise, we can derive from that because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ referring to the Kawakib being from the people of Ahlul Ilm. And them being connected to the Kawakib, we can derive from that that they were from indeed from the righteous, and this is the Sifa Ahlul Ilm. This is the description of the people of knowledge and the people of Iman. And Allah knows best. Wallahu a'lam, as Imam Sa'di says, وَلِهَذَا تُفَسِّرُهَا الرُّؤْيَا الشَّمْسِ وَقَمَرٍ وَكَوَاكِبِ بِالْعُلَمَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَقَدَا تُفَسِّرُ بِالْمُلُوكِ وَالْمُنَاسَبَةِ. Likewise, other people have also derived it as being from amongst the kings or yani the righteous. The next benefit, وَمِنْهَا تَكْمِيلُ يُوسُفْ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ سَلَامُ صَلَوَاتُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ لِمُرَاتِبِ الصَّبَرِ. Yusuf alayhi salam, built in him was all of the different types of sabr, all the different types of patience. And what are different types of patience? What are different types of patience? How many? Okay, we have three. Three different types of patience. Can anybody guess? Okay, patience upon obedience of Allah. Tabarak ta'ala. Jameel. Patience upon hardship. That's connected to one of them, but okay, I'll give you that. No problem. Next one. Jameel. Khalas. So we have three. Patience, sabr ala ta'atillah. Patience upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, everything which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded, you have patience with that. Okay, you do it. For example, the salawat, the zakat, the sawm, okay, the hajj, etc. Patience upon establishing that in which Allah Ta'ala has made from obedience to him. Okay. Then we have the sabr ala awamiri. Okay. The patience upon his commands to stay away from dhunub. Okay, stay away from them things in which he command us to stay away from. This is all the different sins. All the different sins. Okay, from khamar, for example, from zina, akramakum Allah, from different fornication, etc. All of them, to the end of it. It's upon us to be patient and stay away from these things. The last one is as-sabr ala aqdarillah. The sabr or the patience upon the decree of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The divine decree. If any type of hardships come and afflict us, as the brother mentioned, the hardships, then it's upon us to take into consideration that this is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are patient upon that. So in Yusuf alayhi salam, part of the reason in which he was risen in different levels was because he established all of these different patience in him, as we see in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Also, Imam al-Sa'di, he mentions here, and he kind of like breaks it up into two categories, but as Sheikh Abdul Razak says, they're connected to the three, which is as-sabr ala ittirar. So the sabr, wa huwa sabruhu ala adhiyya ikhwati Yusuf, and that is his patience upon the hardships in which afflicted Yusuf. Taratib alayha min bu'dihi an abi abawayhi, and it's built upon his being distant from his parents. Wa sabruhu fi sijin, and likewise his patience upon sijin. And he remained in the sijin, in the jail, for a numerous amount of years. So that's the first one Imam al-Sa'di breaks it down. So that would be the sabr ala aqdarillah, the patience upon the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa sabr wal ikhtiyari, the sabr ikhtiyari, wa sabruhu ala maradati sayyidatihi imra'at al-aziz ma'a wujud ad-dawa'i al-qawiyya. So this right here, sabr al-ikhtiyari, was his patience, which allowed him to stay away from the temptation that came to him from the woman, the wife of the Aziz, the king, and ma'a wujud, with ad-dawa'i al-qawiyya. And this dawa'i al-qawiyya, we're going to stop here, because dawa'i al-qawiyya is strong motivations. And this is right here, Sheikh Abdul Razak said, is an important reminder for all of us to ponder over, especially the youth, especially the young people, especially what's taking place of today. Yusuf alayhi salam was put in a situation, right? And not just a tough situation, but a situation which, as Imam al-Sa'di says here, ad-dawa'i al-qawiyya, meaning a strong motive. She was trying her hardest to get Yusuf alayhi salam. And think about this. As Sheikh Abdul Razak explains, this is not just a random woman, but she is a queen of a place. She was beautiful. She had a different makana, a different level. She closed the door, and it's just them two. And she's saying, "Hey, Talak, come, you." This is ajib. This is an amazing trial for anyone. Anyone. Yusuf alayhi salam, because of his firm stance and his firm iman and his patience, he was able to survive this trial that many people would fall into easily. The Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he mentions that in order to deal with these dawa'i al-qawiyya, in which the strong things have strong motives, and how many of strong motives we have today, things that are calling us to zina, calling us to haram, calling us to listening to music, etc., especially amongst the youth, very dangerous on all different platforms. Now we have Facebook. We have different things that wasn't prevalent when we were growing up, or just 5, 10, 20 years ago, such as TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, etc. This is all different things calling to haram, calling to difficulties, calling to different things to make people fall into that in which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam al-Sa'di says, he says, min jimaliha wa alawi mansubiha, from her beauty, likewise from her high status, وَكَوْنِهَا هِيَ أَلَّتِي رَاوَدَتْهُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ, likewise, she's the one who is telling him, come, right? وَغَلَّقَتْ الْأَبْوَابِ, likewise, she locks the door, so no one can even come in. وَهِيَ فِي غَايَةِ رِيحَانِ الشَّبَابِ, and likewise, he is in In this time of the story, he is in the height of his youth. The height of his youth. Okay? وَلَيْسَ عِنْدَهُ مِنْ قَرَابَتِهِ Likewise, he has nobody around him, nobody from his family in this place. And Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentions here about this. Think about a traveler. Generally, a traveler who's living in a location in which he's not known, because Yusuf alayhi salam was not known in this place. He was in a land which was foreign to him. Usually when travelers go to different places, especially if we look at, you know, what takes place today, what happens when they go to these different places where they're not known? They usually participate in a lot of evil, right? They usually get drunk. They usually party. Why is that? Because nobody around them knows them, right? They're not around their neighbors. They're not around their family members. They're in a place where they feel like they can get away, right? That's why they say about Las Vegas, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right? This is a place that is built upon shar. And people do this with all of their different traveling, right? Generally. So he mentions here that on top of that, nobody around him knows him. He's a foreigner in this land. He's a foreigner, which is more compelling for a person to do something because they don't care about their, like, you know, who's around them and what they're going to say. They don't know this person. It doesn't matter. I'm going back to my home tomorrow, right? So all of these different things. And likewise, as he says, no one knows him. وَمَعَ هَذِي الْأُمُورِ And with all these different situations, وَمَعَ قُوَّةِ الشَّهْوَةِ Likewise, having the strong desire, yani being put forth to him from this woman, مَنَعَهُ الْإِيمَانَ الصَّادِقِ That which prevented him was strong faith. That which prevented him was strong faith. وَالْإِخْلَاصِ الْكَامِلِ And likewise, sincerity. A complete sincerity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُوَاقِعَةُ الْمَحْذُورِ And likewise, trying to stay away from them things which were prohibited. So the Shaykh here, he talks about, after he mentions this, he actually did a khutbah on this. And in this khutbah, he mentions different things in which will protect you from harms, and from zina, etc. And you can derive it from this. Some ulama have derived even more from the benefits of this part alone in the story. Things that protect a person from falling into fawahish, falling into sinful actions, such as zina. And right here, we've mentioned so far 10 things. But there's more that can be derived from that. Naam, 7 things, the biggest thing here being ikhlas. As Allah Ta'ala, innahu min ibadina al-mukhlisin. So the biggest thing that helped him was al-ikhlas, sincerity to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Likewise, the iman of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Likewise, knowing with the iman, it encompasses what? That he knows that Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala is watching him. He knows that Allah Ta'ala is in charge of his affairs. And also, adding to that, what did Yusuf alayhi salam, what did he do when he was presented with all of this? What did he do when he was presented with all of this harm from this woman? What took place? Anybody know? What did he do? Exactly, al-firar. This right here, we benefit. He tried to leave. He tried to flee. This right here, right? We can derive that also from the things in which helped Yusuf alayhi salam is leaving off these different places which might cause harm. Don't go to them. When you're presented with some type of evil, you have your iman, you have your ikhlas, you have your sincerity, you have your thought, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over you, right? And you're being presented with all these different difficulties and these different shahawats, right? Leave it. Leave it. Istabaqa al-bab, meaning they raced to the door. He was racing away from her, okay? He was racing away. So that is the way we should be doing with any type of sins, anything that we're presented with of desires or anything of sin. And for that reason, what happened? His shirt was cut from the back. Hence, his shirt was cut from the back because he was fleeing quickly. She's trying to grab. As he's fleeing, that shirt gets ripped. This shows you how quick Yusuf alayhi salam, and he's a prophet. And he, yani, was praised and chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet he's running away from this situation. This is how we should be. Now, moving on to the next part. فَهُوَ بُرْحَانَ الْإِيمَانِ الَّذِي يَغْلَبُ جَمِيعَ الْقُوَى النَّفْسِيَّةِ. This is the clear evidence of the effects of Iman, which can yani overcome any type of psychological weakness. طيب. This is a point, this very point as well, that Imam Sa'di mentions, and it's about any type of psychological weakness. Okay, Iman helps and assists with this. Iman will help and assist with this. When you're sincere with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are firm belief with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doing righteous actions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you a type of understanding and a type of ability to be protected from anything that might cause your heart harm or your mind harm. In this situation, Allah says, "Lola an ra'a burhana rabbi." Had it not been that I had the evidence, the clear evidence from my Lord, meaning the clear iman, clear faith from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he would have fell into this issue. He would have fallen into some short type of shortcoming, alayhi salam. Imam al-Sa'di mentions here that this is something which will help to close the door to any of this type of, and give you, yani al-quwa al-nafsiyah, that type of psychological strength. Okay, so this is important for anybody who might be afflicted with depression, anybody who might be afflicted with anxiety, anybody who might be afflicted with any of these other things. May Allah protect us all. That in order to refrain from that and protect ourselves from that is what? Having strong iman with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and knowing that His promise is true. فَكَانَ هُوَ الْمُقَدِّمُ السَّبْعَ الَّذِي يُظْلِمُ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى فِي ظِلِّهِ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ. Likewise, Yusuf alayhi salam, he comes under those seven whom which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shade in His shade on the day when there will be no shade except for His shade. Naam. وَهُوَ رَجُلٌ Naam. Aywa. And that is what? That is because, why? Because he said here, فَقَالَ أَفْوَنَ. I'm jumping and skipping, I'm sorry. فَقَالَ إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. إِنِّي أَخَافُ اللَّهِ. Indeed, I fear Allah. Okay? So this was one of the successes of Yusuf alayhi salam to prevent him. Not only did he fear this, right, and he ran away from this, and he held it in his heart, but he also made it apparent on his tongue. Sheikh Abdul Razak says about this, this right here is something that also will aid and protect the servant. Taking all these different steps and making sure what? You make it known to the issues or the different situations in which you're in. You see somebody smoking weed, for example. Okay, you stand up and you leave. And you say, I fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I cannot do this. What does that do to even those individuals who are around? It makes them also look at what they're doing. Likewise, it gives you the iqrar, the statement of the tongue, right? And the also affirming in the heart. So you doing this together gives you even more solid iman. Naam, so Yusuf alayhi salam, he fled from that situation and he did all those different things in which were mentioned. وَلَمْ يَزَلْ الْإِيمَانُ مُلَازِمًا لَهُ فِي أَحْوَالِهِ. And likewise, his iman was always present in all of his situations. All of his situations. حَتَّى قَالَ بَعْدَ مَا تَوَاعَتْهُ بِقَوْلِهَا. Even after that, she had said and had promised to do, وَلَئِنْ لَمْ يَفْعَلْ مَا آمُرُهُ لَيُسْجَنَنَّهُ لَا يُسْجَنَنَّ وَلَا يَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّاغِرِينَ قَالَ رَبِّ السِّجْنُ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا يَدْعُونَنِي إِلَيَّ. Even after all of that, what did she say? If he refuses me, if he disobeys me, and disobeys my order, he shall certainly be cast into the prison and be of those who are disgraced. What did Yusuf alayhi salam say?